So, tell me about your problems. Disclaimer. The views and opinions expressed by the participants in this show are not the views of any MayNewsNetwork.com. Enjoy the show.
Everybody, welcome to Ancast. I'm Zach Birchie. Justin's here.
Hey.
How's it going?
This is a week that I want to end very, very badly.
Well, it's almost over. We're taping this on Friday afternoon, so we're almost done.
Yep. Thank God for that.
For a little while, anyway. We're almost in the busy time of the year again. Conventions and season preview guide and all that shit is coming up. And you're knee-high in... Yeah, New York Comic Con is coming up.
Oh, right. Yeah, I'm not going to that.
Me neither. I think next, I'm going to go to Otakon next year for my first trip back to the East Coast in a while.
It'll be a hot one, but a nice time at least.
Well, yeah, plus next year's the 20th anniversary, and Jim Voles is like, if you're going to come next year. So
Right.
Yeah, I guess I'll come.
Yeah, I've been knee-deep in Anime Spotlight, among about 8 billion other things that are due this week, right when I was trying to go on vacation. So.
Yeah, really. We should let people know Spotlight's going to be a little light this time.
Yeah, it'll be a little heavier than last season. I think we have 7 shows, mm-hmm. One of which went up a few hours ago, the new Bones show, Blast of Tempest.
Right.
An Englishy name, if ever there was one.
Yeah.
But it looks pretty good. It's by Masahiro Ando, the guy that did sort of The Stranger.
Right.
And it looks angsty and violent, so... I'm on board.
That seems like it's maybe a little bit of a pattern this time. I noticed, looking at the chart and, you know, the list of what's coming out and the promotional art, a lot of angst, at least looks like some angst in here.
Yeah, I also have my eye on this new show, From the New World, which is apparently based on a pretty well-respected sci-fi book in Japan.
It's based on a light novel...
It's not a light novel. It's like an actual book.
It's an actual... Oh, okay.
Yeah. it might actually be well written.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, we had an opportunity, interestingly enough, to send someone to a special screening of, like, the first 3 episodes of that, but then they ran out of space for press. So,
damn it.
Nope, we don't get to do that. But we'll see the show soon enough. It premieres in, like, a couple days here, I think, about a week.
Yeah, we're... just trying to crank out as many. You know, everything seems really, really behind in Japan this season.
Yeah.
Like, more so than usual. I mean, Crunchyroll hasn't even announced anything yet.
Well, yeah. I mean, we're getting to the point, though, where, like, the show premieres, and then an hour later we get the announcement that it's going to be on Crunchyroll or whatever.
Right. I mean, the timing's always a little dicey there.
And then we get the Funimation, you can see it in a month announcement, which is always a downer. Yeah, but I noticed that the closer... They wait until right before or immediately after it airs to make that announcement, which is annoying from our perspective because we have to plan, and that makes it really hard for us to plan.
Right.
And to know, like, what we go after using other means, you know, other than streaming, which is kind of annoying, and I hate doing it, but, yeah.
You do what you have to.
Yeah, do what we gotta. But yeah, no. There's a few things I'm kind of interested in. Hey, more Initial D. So, you know, there you go.
I am fiending.
I'm sure you're excited.
I am. More than I should be.
I'm interested. I saw the plot summary for that New World thing, and it sounds kind of like, at least it looks like one of the ones that I'll look forward to seeing what it's like.
We have a spotlight for that one, and actually an interview with the original author. So.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it should be good stuff. But then we also have going up tomorrow, Oni-Eye. You're my brother, but that doesn't matter as long as we have love.
Okay. Well, we don't really need to say any more about that now, do we?
Nope. No, we don't.
I'm sure they won't be blood related. Maybe they will, and it'll
It's by the Baca and Test people, so it actually looks good, though.
Oh, okay.
Visually, at least.
You never know with those things. You never know. Like, sometimes they can turn out... Well, 9.999 times out of 10, sure. Then you get something like... It turns out to be a little bit better than you thought it was going to be, or something like that.
Right.
Nothing springs to mind, but I'm sure there are plenty of examples. I'm kind of curious to see this Psychopass thing.
Yeah, that looks... well, I can't say it looks great, but it looks interesting, if nothing else.
Interesting. That's all I ask for. I don't need more than that. Just interesting.
Right.
Something where the key art is not four girls with their mouths open looking straight into the camera.
And possibly drooling.
Yeah, yeah. I am very curious to see what they did with Lychee Light Club. I'm a little surprised that that's getting an adaptation. I hear it's pretty rough. Like, the manga's, like, really, really rough. I don't know. Mm. Vertical put that manga out, and people were talking about how it was pretty over the top in terms of a little sadomasochistic, I think. It'll be interesting to see that. But I don't know. There's plenty. There's at least three or four things that, to me, just at first glance, I'm like, yeah, okay, I'll check that out. Of course, I'll watch as much as I possibly can for the preview guide, but we'll see. It doesn't look like a particularly bad season or anything. I don't know.
No, slightly better than average, I'd say.
Yeah, yeah. So aside from Spotlight, have you actually had time to watch anything?
No.
Yeah, I didn't think so.
Yeah, of course not. Although I have to admit, I was in line for the iPhone this morning.
Oh, yeah. How'd that go?
It was actually a lot shorter than I was anticipating. I was able to get one with no problem at all.
You know, I had that same experience with the iPad. I think it's... You just walk in and buy one. It's because they're so fucking expensive. Like, not everyone just has $600 laying around. I would have gone to go get a new phone, but I'm not eligible for an upgrade until next year. And I would have to pay the full $600 to get it. Ugh. I'm not paying $600 for a phone, like, period. No. Yeah, I don't know. I feel like the Apple product launch is like more people stay away now because they figure it's going to be a madhouse and they're going to have to wait in line overnight and all that shit.
Well, in my case, I think it was because I went to the Verizon store instead of the Apple store, and there's one of each in the same mall.
Oh, okay.
So I think I just caught it lucky. Mm. And but, you know, I'm... Aside from the indescribably shitty Maps app, everything is nice. It's an iPhone, a little faster, a little taller.
Yeah. That's the other thing, is that their design now is just, it's ubiquitous. So even getting a new shiny thing, it's kind of like, it's another iPhone.
With all the smartphones, we're reaching a point of diminishing returns. There's not much more they can do to these things.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, what additional feature would you pack onto this, really, that people are actually going to use?
I don't know. So obviously, if I had the answer to that, I wouldn't be in this.
This is already a freaking, you know, what's that that Star Trek device that people are... Yeah, it's a tricorder already.
Right, yeah. Yeah, that's true. The only thing I've been watching is stuff for Revenge of the Odds. I am about 6 episodes into Azumanga Daioh right now and can't decide if it's worth finishing. It's cute, and it's actually funny in places, and I think I used to have ill feelings towards the show because it sort of represented what anime was becoming, and I wasn't super happy with that. But looking back on it now, I can appreciate it, but I don't think I can make it through 20-some episodes of this.
I never got the humor in that show.
It's got some funny bits. There's a little bit of absurdism in it, and I like that, so
right.
I'm okay with that. It's few and far between.
I was going to say, it's kind of slim pickings.
Well, it's also 6 episodes in, it's already really repetitive. It's kind of like, these jokes, I've seen these jokes, you did this joke last time, like, okay. It's perfectly fine, totally inoffensive, cute little show. I don't think I'm going to get through the whole thing. It's like eating a bag of candy, just eating the whole bag in one sitting. It's a little much.
Yeah.
Everything else is, I don't really want to go into it too much because obviously we'll talk about this in great detail late next month. And that episode will probably start in the last week of October, I want to say. I gotta give myself plenty of time because I'm still only about 40% of the way through all the shit I got to watch. So
holy crap.
Yeah, well, you know.
Yeah, I started making my list. I need to pare it down. I got about 18 shows that I have as candidates, and then I have two more I need to actually watch. One is My Miracle, which I've heard great things about, and the other is Tokyo Magnitude 8.0, is no longer fiction.
That's on my list too. I have not gotten to it yet. There's a ton of shit on my list I haven't gotten to yet, though.
Yeah, I was going to say, from what little you described your list, it just sounded so indescribably daunting. It just made me kind of want to run away.
Well, yeah, I mean, let me tell you, like, when I do run across something that I hadn't seen before and it's only 12 episodes, this is a huge sigh of relief comes out. Because so much stuff in the early part of the decade was 26.
Right.
God damn, that's a long show. Didn't used to seem like it was super long, but now it seems like this is going to take forever. But it's just because of the volume. It's just sheer volume of shit I got to watch. But, I mean, I am really enjoying this. Like, going back and seeing some of this stuff, especially for the first time, there's plenty of stuff I've been seeing where I'm like, how did I never see this before? And, like, right. You know. Next, I think I'm going to watch Planetes, finally. I've been putting that one off, but I'll get to that one next. I'm really looking forward to finally seeing that thing all the way through. But yeah, so that's kind of been it. We're heading into the super busy season, so not that much to really gab about. So maybe we should just go ahead and get to Twitter.
Okay.
Big Unanime asks, Psychopaths uses Akira Amano's art. Do you feel if the show succeeds, the Reborn anime may continue? And I don't really think there's a connection between those two, aside from they share an artist.
Yeah, I can't think of one, but...
I don't think I've heard of that happening where, you know, creative staff on one show that used to work on another show, and that show is successful, so they bring back the other show that the creative staff worked on. Like,
no, in fact, that's usually the opposite of what happens.
Yeah, they usually get drawn into other projects. Okay. Reborn. I never watched that. Always a little weirded out by the premise, I guess.
I saw an episode. It was basically... It felt like, you know, typical Shonen Jump action comedy. It was cute, but it really didn't do anything for me.
Yeah. It was very popular with the ladies. I know that. Do you remember when we were in Japan and we were at that Jonathan's in Otome Road?
Oh, right.
And we were sitting at a table, and like catty corner to us was a table full of Japanese schoolgirls very excitedly opening packs of Reborn trading cards and squealing over them. It was amazing.
You know, that whole trip to Otome Road was just kind of a blur for me. I think because I got so claustrophobic going into that anime store that I kind of wanted to crawl out of my own flesh.
That was really, really crowded and cramped.
That was awful.
Yeah. I mean, I don't really have claustrophobia issues, but that was shit, man. That was terrible. Yeah, I kind of miss Japan. I need to go back soon.
Yeah, same here.
All right. OPN.
If someone pays for me.
What's that?
If someone pays for me.
Right, yeah. OPN asks, do you prefer long series, 22 episodes or more, or short series, less than 14? Well, I've already answered this. Obviously, at this point in my life, I prefer the shorter shows.
Depends on how good the show is. I mean, if a show is really, really involving, like last one I can think of that I saw was Musashi no Ken, I wanted to go on for, you know, however long it takes to tell the story. I mean, can you imagine a 13-episode original Full Metal Alchemist?
Sure. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that I don't like all, or even that something being long is a prerequisite for me to not like it or something. It's just that there's so much of this stuff that,
yeah,
the shorter it is, like, just as a practical, like, use of time.
For the average show, yeah, 13 is more than enough.
Yeah, and especially these days when everything's based on, like, light novels or manga that's not done yet, and, you know, 13 is generally fine. But, yeah, of course it depends on the show and what services the story. It's not a prerequisite either way. It's just, like, if I had my druthers, it would be 12, you know, not 26.
Right.
Okay, Jairus Taylor asks, how do you think whoever gets the JoJo's Bizarre Adventure anime rights will deal with the inevitable music rights issues? Good luck to them, I guess.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with the music rights issues. What were those?
Good question. I don't know. But Anytime you're talking about music rights, I've never heard anything but horror stories about people trying to tie down music rights when they're held by a separate company, or, you know, maybe if there's like a huge band that did it or something.
Yeah, music rights are always a nightmare. Although there is no mountain to climb higher than a Johnny's band doing your songs.
Johnny's anyone in anything is going to be a giant pain in the ass.
Yeah, it's just give up. If they're involved, just give up.
Yeah.
That's why so few Japanese dramas have ever been licensed for the U.S. Just no one can fucking clear them because of Johnny's. They're involved in everything.
Yeah. Okay. Eric McLeod asks, what was the worst fall season for anime?
Requires encyclopedic knowledge that we just don't have.
Yeah, I don't, like... This stuff becomes kind of a blur. Once the season preview guide is over, generally how my brain susses it out is at the end
flush.
Of the season... But yeah, it's kind of a flush, and then at the end of the season, people will start commenting on which ones wrapped up well, and then I'll go back and look at those. But that bleeds over into the next season, and the next season, and the next season. Like, I don't know. I don't really compartmentalize that way. I couldn't sit here and say, well, this fall season was the worst because it had this show. I don't retain that knowledge. I can tell you during a preview guide exactly what's airing and what's coming up and what's next and all that stuff. After the fact, if I don't, you know, if I don't flesh it out, there's no room in my brain for anything else.
Right.
So, yeah, I couldn't tell you what the worst fall season is for anyway. I know that this past summer season, most people I know are saying that they're not watching anything from it anymore.
We were really... I mean, there were a couple shows early on that looked decent, but unless you're still watching either Space Brothers or Polar Bear Cafe, you're not watching anything, it seems like.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, there's the usual guys that watch everything.
Right.
And, you know, and that's fine. But nothing really seemed to stand out. Even, like, I know Sword Art Online turned out to be not what people were thinking it was going to be. And I know a lot of people gave up on Humanity Has Declined, and, yeah. That seems to be the running theme is just not watching anything from the summer. So that seems like maybe it was kind of a weak season. Okay. AC in the 715 asks, been a big fan of the Best of Decades shows. Have you considered doing Worst of the Decades? You know, I've gotten this question more than once. You know, people asking if we're going to do Worst of. I don't think we are. We did those shows like a couple years back where we did like the 10 worst anime we've ever seen. That's probably as close as you're going to get to us doing that. In order to actually do a Worst of the Decade, we would have to go back and do the same amount of research and watch the same amount of stuff to suss out the worst of, like, the 80s and the 90s and the aughts. Like, I'm okay going through big lists of things that are supposed to be good, but even my pain threshold just gives out. Like, I can't just sit here and watch horrible anime all day, day in and day out. Like, I couldn't handle that.
Yeah,
I couldn't see you doing that either.
Absolutely not. Not at this point in my life. Maybe when I was younger and had way more spare time.
George J. Horvath asks, were the aughts really full of lost titles that were never licensed? Personally, I'd say yes, but I can only vouch for certain titles. There are a few things that people really seem to clamor over that never got picked up for one reason or another. I know the big one is, like, Deno Coil. Like, everyone talks about how great that show is and how what a shame it was that it never got licensed.
I only know a handful of people that even got through the fan subs.
But you know what I'm talking about. You see all that effusive praise for it.
Right. And, you know, animation-wise, it was great, but it was also kind of weird-looking and a little off-putting and... I cannot picture that ever being a success. Yeah. I just can't.
I don't know. People love it, though. There's that, and then there's a few
other things. Loud people love it.
A few very loud people love it. But I heard it was great, so of course I'm going to check it out. But yeah, there seems to be like at least hard sci-fi, and like there was for the longest time that 26 episode Watanabe show. What's it? Michiko and Hatching.
Oh, right.
Funimation finally licensed it, but that seemed like a no-brainer for a Western release, but for some reason just never got picked up for, like, years and years and years. So I think that's generally what this guy is referring to. I mean, I don't think that the majority of good things didn't get picked up, but there certainly are shows that people consider to be gems that, for whatever reason, never got licensed.
Yeah, there's a couple standouts, really.
Okay. Alex C. asks, have you guys been liking or looking forward to any non-anime animated movies this year? Tell us your thoughts. Overall, I would say that it's been kind of a weak year for animation. Brave was a big letdown in my mind. I didn't hate it, but I didn't love it.
It's been a weak year for movies in general. There were a couple standouts, but even like most of the really highly anticipated stuff was either that was a movie, or even less. I mean, people love the Avengers, but the only people that will really like revisit that years from now are people who saw it as kids.
Yeah, no, you're probably right. I don't know. In terms of like animated movies, Paranorman was pretty good. I enjoyed that. But that's kind of it. Like, there hasn't been a lot of other product out there that's really worth looking forward to. Obviously, everybody's looking forward to Wreck-It Ralph. But that's it. Like, there's nothing else, really, this year that's animated that I'm particularly stoked about. I don't know. It's been a little bit of a weak year.
Yeah.
Let's see. She also asks, are there any bad anime that we enjoy watching for laughs? Yeah, sure.
Tons. Listen to any show with Daryl Surratt.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of that stuff is good because it's so bad you can't help but laugh. There's a lot of mediocre anime and a lot of anime that's just so bad it's bad. But there's, of course, like anything else, there's plenty of stuff that's so bad it's good.
Yeah, there's a... Well, I don't know about plenty. There's a handful.
Yeah.
We keep going back to the same well with them because there's really only a couple that are just so unabashedly ridiculous that you have to laugh at them, because that's what it takes to have so bad it's good, is to have it just be so far down the rabbit hole that you just can't believe that it exists.
But
most bad anime just is playing it safe.
One of the things that I do sort of require when it comes to a so bad it's good anime, it needs to be a movie or an OVA, because so bad it's good, no matter what it is, I'm not going to watch 12 episodes of it. I'll watch an hour, you know, hour and a half, but I'm not going to sit through 12, 26 episodes of something for so bad it's good purposes. That just
seems
like too much.
That's a problem. Yeah, and honestly, there's only so much you can really expect out of a TV show that has so much money behind it and so long to correct its mistakes.
Yeah, that's true.
So.
Okay. Let's see here. Eric asks, he says, I remember you mentioning you volunteer for Obama. Do you call a lot of registered Republicans? No. Specifically, they have us calling undecideds, independents, people in like 17 different counties that actually determine the election.
Did you phone bank this year?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep. Things are getting a lot better lately, let me tell you.
Oh, I'll bet.
People are a lot less mad. Okay. Wayne01 asks, do you think the fall season will be better reviewed than the summer? Also, is your 2000 show going to just go to 2009? It's impossible to tell which season's going to come out on top for any given year. Until, you know, we're past the preview guide and I have some idea of how it shaped up, couldn't really give you an opinion. There's three or four things that look pretty interesting. Couldn't tell you if it's going to be better reviewed or not. It all depends. Sometimes you get a season list that's full of really promising stuff, and it all just sucks. And sometimes you get a season list that's full of stuff that's not so promising, and a lot of it's good. So, you never know.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it's... Honestly, after the season is over, I just pay so little attention to what season is being represented that I just, you know... Yeah. It just doesn't seem important.
It's not.
At all.
I don't feel the need to categorize things like that by season, year, whatever. It's all just a big morass.
Yeah.
And for the 2000 show, yeah, it's going to go January 2000 to December 2009. So a full 10-year span there. NeoCloud9 asks, what would you guess is Urobuchi's goal with Psycho Pass? Well, if I had to guess, it'll be kind of dark.
Gen Urobuchi, get out of here.
I'm worried that that guy is burning himself out. He seems to have a show every season, sometimes two.
Yeah, well, it's hard to tell though, because a lot of the stuff that they're adapting is stuff that he made as a game ages ago, but he's not doing the adaptation.
Yeah, right.
So it's really hard to tell how much is his current work and how much is just people mining his back catalog.
Yeah, that's true. That is absolutely true. So it's important to keep that in mind. Jack Mace Rio asks, how much experience have you had with Japanese live-action series and movies based on anime and manga, and what's your general opinion of them?
They're almost all terrible. I have seen quite a few, both movies and live-action TV series, and they don't go as wrong as the American adaptations, but they still tend to be pretty hokey and laughable. In general. There are exceptions.
I think that their track record is about the same as ours.
There have been good ones.
Okay, you're right. There's been at least... But, I mean, people consider Speed Racer to be bad, but it's absolutely not.
Like, okay,
that's almost like a flawless... in terms of what they were trying to do, like, that's almost perfect. They probably have a higher track record because they produce more of them, but there's been very few that I've seen that were actually worth watching. I don't know. I was not impressed with Death Note or...
Death Note was bad. Gantz was bad. Bad. Let's see, what else is there? Oh, all of the Rumiko Takahashi live action has been just kind of sterile and stupid.
Yeah, well, so what are some good ones?
Well, apparently the new Kenshin one's not bad, right?
Yeah, apparently it's not terrible, yeah.
I think... there has to be something.
I have heard good things about Bunny Drop.
I haven't.
Oh, really?
No, in fact, they made the guy, like, a good-looking idol star. Yeah, and it's just, like, really, really soppy and melodramatic.
Yeah. Hmm. Well, so it's difficult to come up with this stuff on the spot. I can't think of one off the top of my head that I actually really enjoyed.
I'm sure one has to exist. Oh, the GTO series, not the movie, but the GTO First Drama series was good.
Yeah, people like that. Actually, maybe they have more success with series.
Yeah. A lot of people liked the Goksen... Yeah. TV drama too, even though that was retarded.
Yeah, I remember that being. I remember people talking about how they liked it. Never watched.
It was
so
cute, you know, fault or all, but you know, it was really stupid. As is any show where you have to imagine these pretty boys from a boy band being thugs.
Right. okay, John DCP asks, what do you think of these horror stories of Vic Mignogna and their validity? Seems like any news about him unleashes a torrent of hate. For the record, do not have a problem with Vic. I have certainly heard my fair share of stories about him and his behavior.
Yep.
I cannot vouch for their validity or their truthfulness or any of that stuff, but I have heard most of the stories that are out there.
Yep.
In my experience, he's an okay guy. That, for whatever reason, does have his fair share of haters. I don't know. He's a big, ostentatious personality that shows up at a million conventions and has a slavish devotion of fangirls that sort of follow him around and do shit for him. I would imagine that a lot of people would find that maybe a little annoying. So, you know.
It's definitely a setup that lends itself to awkwardness. Whether the person furthers that or not, we are not in a position to say.
Yeah. Every interaction I've ever had with him, he's been perfectly nice. So.
Yes, he's been very nice to me.
Okay, Dr. Swerve. Off-topic question, do you have any recommendations for indie rock acts other than the New Division? What have you been listening to lately?
Let's see. Who am I listening to lately? The new Santigold album is fantastic. Mm-hmm. I'm a big fan of that. It's been a pretty shitty summer for music, too, actually. Like, a bunch of friends of mine and I were talking about it. Goldroom had one decent song, but for the most part was okay. Future Unlimited's been doing some interesting things. Tan Lines, they're pretty good, and the new Rye EP, they had a song called Open, which is really, really nice, but that's pretty much it for me.
I've been listening to this band Stepdad.
Any good?
Yeah, it's, you know, synthy pop type of stuff. But I like it. There's a few good songs in their album. Catchy anyway. It's a little more techno-y than a lot of, not quite as ethereal as a lot of the synth pop stuff you're hearing now.
It seems like that's where the direction everything's going right now.
Less ethereal synth pop?
I mean, everything was sounding exactly the same for a good 3 years there.
Yeah, no shit. If I heard one more, like, ethereal synth pop with sort of mumbly, long vocals, sort of ghostly floating over the synth pop, I forget, done. I'm done with it.
Yeah. One thing I am looking forward to, though, not sure if you're a fan of Apparat, but... He probably most people would know him for contributing a very, very key song to the season finale of Breaking Bad last season. You might remember it from when a certain someone walked into an old folks' home in slow motion for the last time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that song. But anyway, he has a collaboration with Mode Selector that produced an amazing album a couple years ago, and they're apparently working on a second one right now. So that collaboration is called Motorat, and I am really looking forward to that.
Cool. Okay. Vicious Smith asks, do you think the UK should stop peddling their rubbish sci-fi and fantasy TV on our shores?
Oh man, just the question almost feels like he's lobbing a hand grenade at a certain.
Basically. I don't really watch any of that stuff. The Sherlock and the Doctor Who and the Torchwood and all that.
I've tried. I can't take it seriously.
Yeah, I'm just not into it. But, you know, people love that shit. More power to them.
Yeah.
I just wish that the pretense that it's better than American TV because it's British would go away. Because it ain't.
Accents do not make things intelligent.
Yeah, or worldly, or better than your average episode of Stargate or whatever. Like, it's kind of junky, low-budget sci-fi, television sci-fi. It's kind of the same no matter where you get it from.
Mm-hmm.
Also from Vicious Smith, would you rather be a passenger on the Bebop or the Black Lagoon? I'm going to take the Bebop because my chances of death are a lot lower.
Yeah, I was going to say, don't people on Black Lagoon, like, there's a lot of bloodshed going around that show.
A lot of shooting, yeah.
Yeah.
Not so much near the Bebop.
Yeah, the only person that seems to get shot repeatedly is Spike.
Right. Angel XO3. Any of you guys plan on watching Simone for a unique sci-fi take on gender identity for the 2000s list?
You know, I watched... couple episodes of that ages ago. I thought it was good, but it was definitely not top 10 or even top for the year caliber, I thought.
Yeah, I don't know. I think I saw one episode of it and it didn't really grab me.
I made it through the first disc, I think, because that was released as singles, I believe.
Right.
It was okay. It didn't really send my cookie.
And Angel XO3 also asks, is it just me, or does there seem to be a rise of anime shows aimed at fangirls lately? I don't think there's a particular spike in shows aimed at fangirls.
Nah.
There's usually one or two, like, shoujo, drama, romantic comedy, whatever the fuck, every season. Like, you usually get one or two of them. And that's what we're seeing, as usual, this year.
You know, it's one of those things where I'm even hesitant to say things are getting more pandering, because I look back at popular shoujo of years past, and it's all pandering.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't think of a more pandering show than Fushigi Yugi.
Speaking of so bad, it's good. There you go.
Right. That's yay, diagonal pans.
Yeah. Paul Freeland asks, given how poorly sports anime could do in the U.S., is there a sport that could make one successful here? Other than Quidditch, of course. No, I don't think so.
Yeah, I mean, the whole... I mean, it doesn't even seem like Americans can make a really, really popular sports fiction show. So one from another culture just doesn't seem like it even stands a chance.
Yeah, there's a weird disconnect. For whatever reason, in American culture, I guess maybe it's because we are a very sports-centric society, and that's a multi-billion dollar industry here. That makes up a chief amount of televised content. And for whatever reason, there is not a lot of sports-related drama. You get, like, movies about baseball and football and stuff, but that's, like, two, maybe two a year. And not a lot of TV shows are fictionalized, you know, and about sports. It's just not really a thing we do. You know, it's Friday Night Lights, that's about it. You know?
Yeah, and even that show was hanging on by a thread for the better part of its life.
Yeah, and it didn't seem like it was... mega sports fans that were jumping all over it. It was fans of good TV, like people who like hour-long dramas were really right. into that show. So for whatever reason, it just doesn't work here. I don't think there's a single sport that would somehow bridge the gap between anime fans and people who ostensibly would be attracted to something like that's about football.
You know, one thing we also have to remember is anime is still mostly for nerds in this country.
Yeah, it's not this ubiquitous, it's just on TV thing. It's not just part of the cultural fabric, it's a subculture.
Right.
And so that, and it is a subculture that does not particularly align itself with an interest in sports overall.
No, I mean, you look at the normal anime convention attendee, you do not think, wow, I'll bet he made the football team.
Right. I mean, I still remember getting literally laughed at in my anime club when I told people that Slam Dunk is good and we should watch it. Like, they were really close-minded about it, and because it was about sports, they just automatically rejected it.
That's a shame.
Yeah, well, it's a shame, but, you know, this was the late 90s, like, early 2000s, and that was the show that changed my mind. Like, I was originally like, eh, sports, who cares? But then I saw Slam Dunk and was like, yeah, this is awesome. So that totally turned me around on sports anime, and now I'll watch it, no problem. But
what was my first sports show? I was pretty late to the sports anime game myself. It might have... I'm not even sure if you can call this a sport, but it might have been Hikaru no Go.
Yeah, I think maybe that one did open up a lot of people to the idea of watching an anime that is about a particular game or a sport or something.
Right.
Even though it's not really a sports anime, like, it is structured like one. So, mm-hmm. I don't know. Maybe that opened up a lot of people to it, but... I don't think you could make one that would really hit here at all.
No.
Okay, he also asks, do you two enjoy any Japanese horror movies? Any favorites? Creepy atmospheric horror is a nice change from slashers and torture porn.
I'm not a horror guy. I'm just not. Any culture's horror.
Yeah, I like horror. I don't watch a ton of it. I feel like we had a little bit of a period there in the middle part of the last decade where most American horror was just lifted from Japanese movies. So
right.
They were just remaking everything that came out in Japan. And generally, the Japanese versions of those movies were better. So, like, the Japanese version of The Ring, it's better than the American one. Japanese version of The Grudge is better than the American one.
Right.
But aside from those two and, like, one or two others, I did see both versions of Pulse.
Really?
I don't know why. They're both pretty bad. The American one's worse, but they're both pretty terrible.
The thing for me is that I'm not scared by things like that. I'm scared by things like, you know, government oppression and fiscal collapse.
Right. Actual natural disasters that could happen in your backyard.
Yeah. Exactly. I'm scared about, you know, shootings and things like that. So, you know, the typical horror movie stuff, it's just a little too silly for me. I can't bring myself out of it enough to really care. That said, there are some that are just so over the top, they're funny. Like, I don't think I'd watch it again, but I really enjoyed Three Extremes Dumplings.
I never saw that.
You know the setup, right?
Actually, no.
Abortion Dumplings.
All right. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I mean, I like plenty of horror. I can be scared by a movie, no problem. It's not often that that happens. But, yeah. I mean, I've certainly been, you know, really scared in a movie before, but it hasn't happened in a while. It's not that I don't have the ability to be scared by a movie. It's just, I think that's true for most people. Like, they make so much horror that, it's very difficult to have one that's particularly effective, I think.
That could be.
Okay, Ghost Wheel asks, does it bother you to see things in the wrong aspect ratio? Yes.
Absolutely. And I don't understand how so many people don't seem to notice.
It's like being, it's like, I mean, it's not literally like, but it's as distracting as, you may as well just like put a knife in my hand and say, sit here and watch this movie. And it's all stretched out, or it's the TV's not calibrated right, or even worse is when they have that fucking True Flow thing on and makes everything look like a soap opera.
Oh, God.
Like, I'm super sensitive to that kind of thing. So, you are too. So,
very.
Like,
me especially, I'm a video guy. If it looks wrong, it is going to gnaw at me. Like, I've left the room because of a bad DVD encode before.
Yeah, I remember I was at my ex-girlfriend's house. This was when we were still together, and her parents had this giant, huge TV that was calibrated totally wrong. So it was, they didn't have an HD feed. So they literally taking an SD letterbox cable signal, stretching it out sideways, so it was squashed at the top. I was sitting there like, it was like just nails on a chalkboard. I was like, it took every ounce of willpower I had to not, like, reach for the remote and just be like, I have to fix this, because this is not right. Like, it makes you sick watching something. It can be really disorienting. Like physically sickening sometimes. Yeah.
I've never been physically sickened. I've been made very upset.
Well, watch something that looks like you're in a fishbowl for an hour. Like, it gets pretty bad sometimes. But yes, we are super sensitive to that. It's horrible. Okay, I like this question. I did want to talk about this. Illu99 asks, what's your opinion on the Kokoro Connect incident? Do the fans punish the entire production team because of the PR team's fuck-up? Now, this
was
interesting. That was
weird.
This was interesting and very strange.
Right?
Basically, the PR team played, like, this prank on some voice actor, and they were like, oh, you're totally going to have a part on this show, and then they kind of humiliated him by saying, like, no, you don't have the part. At least that's my vague understanding of what happened.
And yeah, basically, they're just like, no, you get to be the cabana boy for the show.
Yeah, yeah.
And they say that at the end they were going to give him a walk-on in the last episode or something.
Right, and the fans, and it came across as cruel. And the fans lost their shit and immediately, like, canceled all their pre-orders and started giving the thing, like, one-star reviews on Amazon over and over and over again and just attacked the show as a result. And to me, I didn't understand why they were punishing the people who made the show for the PR team screw-up. I don't get it. Why are they lashing out at the show itself? It's not the show's fault.
Well, they went well beyond just attacking the show. I mean, they were lashing out at the wife of the producer, who is a voice actress. She was on Twitter. She had to shut down her Twitter account. It's just like they unleashed the sharks. It was bizarre.
Well, you know, and I gotta be honest. That kind of shit, it scares the shit out of me. When you have that mob mentality and they can actually seriously impact a creative, a work of creativity, like a television show. Now, I don't really like Kokoro Connect, but I would hate to think that, like, if I'm working on something and I put my heart and soul into it and the marketing team that I have fucking nothing to do with screws up and the fans just destroy this thing that I've been working so hard on and try to, like, wreck the lives of my friends and family and the people around me and stuff, what the fuck is that? Like, that's this weird tyranny of the mob thing. Like, they shouldn't have that much power.
Right, and I do think that part of the, you know, Japanese way of doing business gives into that way too easily.
Oh, yeah, remember the Gurren Lagann thing?
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, even beyond that, I mean, this is, you know, a media company in Japan will pull an idol singer's, you know, CDs from store shelves if they're, like, arrested for drug possession. So just, you know, the mere semblance of something looking amiss. So if there's something like this going on, you know, forget it. The company is not going to come to the defense of the creative team. They're just not.
No. They're going to bend over backwards to make sure that the fans are happy and buying. And I think, to me, is that, do you think that that's it? It's like, don't piss off the people that are pay, that are keeping us in business, I guess?
Well, I'm sure that's a part of it. But at the same time, I mean, you have to push back a little when people are being monsters.
Well, it's like they get a taste of this. Oh, we can actually impact this. So let's hit it as hard as we possibly can in a show of power. And right. To me, like, that's just not the relationship that there should be. If you're a creative person working in a creative industry, do you really have to be afraid of the angry mob? Because it's kind of hard to predict what it is that's going to set them off.
It is, and it's just like anything that goes viral. Who would have predicted Gangnam Style would have been a number one hit?
Right.
But, you know, similar things happen here, but they're usually, you know, political and liberal in nature, and things are fairly easy to get behind, a.k.a. Chick-fil-A, a.k.a. Rush Limbaugh with Sandra Fluke.
Yeah.
I don't know, weird things like this happen all over Asia, and I won't pretend I understand it, certainly not enough to pass judgment, but I am bewildered and frightened by it.
Yeah, like, I don't have any problem with the fans being outspoken. I do take issue when they can actually start impacting someone's life. That, to me, is taking it a step too far. You don't like the show? Fine. Don't buy it. That should be the long and short of your ability to protest someone else's creative endeavor.
If you really want to see an example of this thing completely out of control to the point of really, really ruining someone's life, there is a K-pop rapper named Tablo. Mm-hmm. He used to be part of a duo called Epic High. Okay. Epic with a K. Really, really good rapper. I think he was educated Harvard or some, you know, Ivy League school in America. And somehow he got a disgruntled family member of his started a rumor that, you know, he faked his college record or something to that effect. Basically, it became this huge national viral sensation to just take this guy down. He had to go into hiding.
Jesus Christ.
And did nothing wrong.
See, and ultimately, like, that's my biggest problem with this kind of thing. Because the odds that the fans are being fair, have all the knowledge, and are making these, you know, being really, really outspoken and just trashing everybody involved in the production, the odds that they're being actually righteous and are actually justified in their actions are pretty low.
Once something gets beyond a certain point, people lose all rationality. People don't know how. It becomes pure emotion, pure id after a certain point, and there's just no rationality involved at all.
Right, it's an angry mob at that point.
Right,
it turns nasty, and there's very little going back from that. And ultimately, they just wind up hurting a whole lot of people that had fucking nothing to do with that stupid prank. Punish the shit out of the PR guys, fine, but why? I don't understand why they feel the need to hurt the show as much as they have, because that show, like, it's really struggling now. They had to push all the Blu-rays back a month. They're just trying to get as far away from this controversy as they can. And insofar as I can tell, the fans like the show. They don't have a problem with the show itself. I don't know. It's just that whole idea of, hey, you want to make a TV show? Well, don't make the angry mob mad. That just, no one should have to work under those kind of conditions.
No.
Anyway, all right, wrapping it up here. We got a couple questions on email from Chris A. Why do you think some recent shows have been announced as two separate seasons, usually a season apart, instead of one continuous run? Thought it was to give studios some extra time, but most of these studios still produce other anime during their season off. Is it maybe to adjust season 2's budget based on season 1's sales? Some sort of license or stipulation for getting the anime? I don't know the answer to this, do you?
I think it's... You know, I don't know why that is. I think in some cases it's to give themselves an out if the show tanks.
Oh, right, right, right. You know, that's probably the most rational explanation.
Right, because, you know, if you have to make it contiguous, then if the show tanks, you're already, you know, halfway through production on the entire second half of the show. And the money is spent. You might as well just air it. You're just throwing money down the toilet at that point.
Right. A similar thing happens here when, like, NBC orders 9 episodes of something, and then they'll go ahead and order the rest if the show proves to be something solid in the ratings.
Right.
Like, that happens here all the time. It's just, it's presented as one complete season and not, okay, we're splitting it up. We're only paying for the first 13 right now. We'll see how it does, and then we'll go ahead and greenlight season 2. So, I mean, that seems totally rational to me. And finally, he asks, specifically for you, Justin, he's wondering what your current work machine specs are and how often do you upgrade? Every other generation? Do you wait till it's a significant upgrade?
I wait till a significant upgrade. Actually, there hasn't been... I use a Mac Pro for everything, an 8-core Mac Pro, but it's an old one. It's an 08 model. And these things are expensive to upgrade. It's going to be probably four grand when I finally get the new one. They're talking about a new Mac Pro that's coming out early next year that I'm saving up for. But you know, there hasn't been a whole lot of workstation. There was a long stretch where there just wasn't a whole lot to upgrade to.
Right.
So, thank God I've been able to hang on to the same machine for a good number of years. But it's starting. I've been getting the upgrade itch. Well, we'll see. I'm waiting for Ivy Bridge. Yeah, I'm waiting for the Ivy Bridge-based Mac Pros to come out. Then I will upgrade.
Yeah, I'm finally almost done. I'm putting my computer together.
Oh, yeah. What did you end up getting?
I wound up dropping like $800. I had a friend basically put it together for me. But it's an i7 with 16 gigs of RAM. And I decided not to go solid state. I was thinking about going solid state, but it's so limited in space, you know?
Well, yeah, I would never have that be my only hard drive in a machine.
Yeah, I don't want to spend that much money, so maybe later I'll put a second drive in that's solid state. And, you know, I do want to do a lot of gaming on it, so it's good to have a solid state drive for that. But
oh yeah, absolutely.
I'm really, really looking forward to it. I have not sunk a bunch of money into a desktop PC in a very long time, so it'll be interesting to go back to that.
Yeah, I'm decided I'm going to go nuts this time. I'm replacing both my monitors. I'm you know, because I have to max out the RAM because I always have Windows open in a VMware.
Yeah.
So I'm constantly like cutting and pasting back and forth between the two operating systems, and that just eats up the RAM, man.
Yeah. I don't know. Okay. Well, I think that about wraps it up. So yeah. Well, thanks for coming back, Justin.
Oh, my pleasure.
And we'll see you all next week.